Matthew chapter 13. I'll be reading verses 44 through 46. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy he goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses about parables and why Jesus spoke in parables, and looked at two of the parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of leaven. In the parable of the mustard seed, it starts out extremely small, grows very, very big. And he's teaching us there that the gospel starts out small, but as it spreads throughout the world, it encompasses the world, overshadowing everything else. The message of forgiveness through Jesus Christ has started at one place in Israel and has spread to every corner of the world. Jesus tells us about the mustard seed. It wasn't an accident, it just came. It was spread intentionally, planted in the garden intentionally. It was God's plan all along to bring forgiveness through the shedding of his blood. Even in Genesis chapter 3, where it's talking about the fall of Adam and Eve and the sin in the Garden of Eden, he tells the curse on Satan that you'll strike at the seed of the woman's, the heel, and he'll crush your head. Jesus, being born of a virgin and defeating Satan's plan. And then we saw the parable of the leaven. Leaven was the yeast, what you use to make the bread rise. And I don't remember if I mentioned it about working in the bakery and seeing what bread looks like without yeast in it is not very appetizing. It's just a cracker has more texture to it. It's just flat and bland, because the working of the yeast through the bread makes that carbon dioxide bubbles in it, makes the bread expand. And as it is worked into the flour, it impregnates every part of the flour with the yeast, and so it all is affected. And the gospel is intended to spread in every part of the world, but it requires an action. The woman had to mix it into the flour. We are called to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. Jesus said that he spoke in parables to fulfill prophecy. And if you look at Psalm chapter 78, it talks about speaking the truths of God in these parables. And now we come to verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. The man is not looking for the treasure, but he stumbles upon it. In England, I read every few years, I've read stories about a treasure being discovered from the Anglo-Saxon time period. Now, at that time period, they didn't have banks. You could go put all your possessions in. Same thing is true at the time of Jesus. If you wanted to have something secured, you'd hide it and then go dig it up when other people aren't looking, and go take what you need and rebury the rest. But if the person that owned the land died, that hidden treasure remained hidden. In England, they found one treasure just a few years ago that's worth an estimated $4.1 million. It's gold and coins and parts of necklaces and parts of swords that had been taken together. They took the most valuable parts off of what they had captured to put them all together. And a farmer just happened to be going along and discovered them out in his field. A few years prior to that, another farmer had discovered treasure. Had one big pot that when you look at it, it's all bent up because the plow hit it and it just crushed in that gold pot. Well, treasure was found by someone that wasn't looking for it. And then our next parable is a parable of a merchant who's looking for fine pearls. And when he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, there's a show on the History Channel, I think it's still on, called American Pickers. And they go about looking for treasures all in the backwoods and overlooked places, trying to find treasure that they can make money off of that other people have not realized what they had. I think back at some of the treasures they find. I used to have a lot of those things. It's just we threw them away. We thought they were junk. Well, people that collected things or old abandoned buildings that people haven't been in years, they find all kind of things in there. They were looking, the pickers are looking for treasure. Now, they're Cheryl's favorite show, The Curse of Oak Island, is she listening? No, didn't even hear it. The Curse of Oak Island, Cheryl. Your favorite show, right? Okay. Well, they are looking for treasure. Will they find anything? Well, the narrator always says, could this be? Well, they are finding treasure in many people watching the show. Some people have grown cobwebs on their bodies watching the show, waiting for them to find something. So far, they haven't found anything. They have found, from an archaeological standpoint, many interesting treasures that they were not looking for that predates the recorded history of the discovery of America by hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And they haven't found that pearl that they were looking for yet. They keep looking. Well, in our parable, it's a type of guy like the people on Curse of Oak Island that are intentionally looking for something. And when they find what they were looking for, they go and sell everything they have to buy that one pearl. That one pearl was worth more than any other pearl that person that was hunting for pearls found, because it said it sold everything. And the man that accidentally found the treasure, it was worth more than anything that he had because he went and sold everything. Now, some people might say and have said that the man that found the treasure was deceitful. He should have just told the person that owned it that he found the property. Well, according to Jewish law, found treasure belonged to the person that found it. But the man went. He didn't even take any of the treasure to buy the land with. He reburied it all. And then he went and bought that property. Now, if the owner of the land knew the treasure was there, he could have taken it and removed it before he transferred the title of the land over to the man. Or the man, if he had been dishonest, could have just taken all the treasure and not told anybody about it. It's not about the man being ethical or unethical. It's about a treasure being found that wasn't being looked for, but was realized to be a great treasure. Now, the second parable is about someone looking for that treasure. Now, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure, or like the pearl. Now, the kingdom of heaven, if we turn to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. And if you back up in chapter 7 to verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. So as we look at these two parables in chapter 13, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price, we can see several things. Both of these, a choice had to be made. What are you going to do now with the knowledge of this great treasure you found? Are you just going to ignore it? Or are you going to take and sell everything you have to obtain this great treasure? One that you weren't looking for, but you found. The other you were looking for, and you did find. We also see that the kingdom of heaven is worth the exchange of everything we have to obtain. We cannot take anything with us from this life to the next, but the treasure that we put ahead of us. We can also see that God's kingdom is not obviously displayed. That treasure hidden in the field didn't say, dig here, and the pearl didn't have a big sign. Here's the world's greatest pearl. The man had to go searching for that one. And joy was found when the treasure was discovered. Jesus tells us that he has come to give us joy, and that our joy may be full. We also know that the kingdom is found in different ways. Some people who are not looking to get right with God suddenly are met with God and how to get right with him. Other people search the scriptures, and like the Pharisees and such, were looking how to be right with God, but they were looking in the wrong places. The Pharisees, who had spent their life searching scripture, had come to find Jesus. Now they had a choice. Do they recognize Jesus as that pearl of great price? Or do they keep going the way they're going, keeping looking and ignoring what they found? Well, the same is true for us. We have a choice to make. When we find that we are sinners, and we are all sinners, and we all have no access to heaven except through the blood of Jesus, we have a choice to make. Will we keep going the way we're going, or will we turn everything over to get the salvation that God offers? There's a place near Louisville, Kentucky, called Fort Knox. Fort Knox, you can't go up and knock and get in. It's the repository of the majority of the gold backing up our currency. It's said that the vault door has a combination that takes 10 different parts from 10 different individuals, and each individual only knows part of the combination. Surrounding the building, supposedly where the gold is, Apache helicopters, tanks, 40,000 soldiers. It's said there's motion sensors with machine guns that are activated by the lasers and motion sensors, that the field around it is a minefield. You're not going to get into Fort Knox except through the way that's allowed. You're not going to get into heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way into heaven, no other way into the kingdom of God except God's way. A lot of people think they can be right with God or pretend that God doesn't exist. But there is a judgment day coming. And there's a way that can be discovered. God will reveal that to us. His Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, draws us to himself, to salvation. But a choice has to be made. What are we going to do when we find the truth? Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you that you have shown us the treasure, that you have led us to make a choice. Let us make the choice to accept your forgiveness of our sin debt and follow the narrow path that leads to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.